Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to English with Kirsty. I have another guest here today, somebody that I'd like you to meet. Anya, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Yes, thank you very much for the invitation. I'm really happy to be here. It's a nice opportunity and the first time actually that I'm doing a podcast. So I'm a bit nervous, like slightly, but I think it will be okay.
It's the first time for everything. It's good to try something new.
Exactly, yes.
So maybe you could start by just telling us a bit about yourself, who you are, what you do.
Yeah, sure. I'm Anya. I'm from Germany. And right now we are living in the nice region of Southern Palatinate. It's a wine region and well known for a strange dialect and kind of hearty, savory food. And perhaps somebody of you has heard about the Pfälzer Saumagen. It's like a stuffed pig stomach. It's kind of a speciality here.
Okay.
And really, yeah. And we just like last year we bought a house here, so we are planning to stay here. And I'm a German teacher, German as a foreign language. I'm a job coach, and since last year July I'm owner and kind of managing director of a small company called Ars Linguis. And this company I founded because of my website. It's an online job market called Fremdsprachenjobs. It's like the biggest job market of this kind in the German-speaking countries. And it's like when any company is looking for staff or like freelancers with special language skills, yes, they can post job ads on the website. Yes, and I bought that from a colleague and friend who had been running that for a long time. So yeah, I'm really happy and proud that I continue this project.
Yes, that means it's interesting. Every day is something different because you've got these three strands to what you're doing.
Yeah,
so I guess it's
varied. And for my background, I have a master, or like actually it's a magister, the old kind of German degree, but it's like the same as the master. I have a master in ethnology or cultural anthropology, which is kind of the background for my teaching, how my teaching style and my coaching style as well. And as long as I can remember, I was fascinated by languages, different cultures, people. Yes, so that's the reason why I'm where I am today. And besides my love for languages, I love cooking and eating. And I'm really fond of like nature, being outside in the nature. That's me.
Yeah, thank you. I think, where did we meet? I think we decided to become contacts on Xing, which for those who don't know is it's like LinkedIn, but in the German-speaking countries.
Yes.
And I think we decided to have a virtual coffee because it's easy to add new contacts and think, oh, that looks interesting, and not to do anything else with it. So we decided to get together, have a coffee, and then I've written some articles for Anya's website, and she promoted some of my events. And more recently, you came to the Conversation Club, which is the new club that I've set up. We've got different meetings for general conversation, or business owners, or employees, people who use English at work. What made you decide to come to the club?
Actually, like first thing, because I like what you're doing. So I think you have some good ideas in kind of how to reach out for people. That's one point. And the other point is that I like to talk, and I speak, well, in my daily life, my working life, I don't speak English that much. But I sometimes realize, for example, there was this translation conference like last 2 weeks ago, and I was like a partner, and then I had to write something in English about my company. And then I realized often it's I my English is not that bad, but when it comes to special kind of vocabulary regarding like the job, I'm a job coach and I know everything in German. But sometimes when I some time ago I wrote and like a CV in English and was like, so okay. And so I think it there is a part that yeah, like I should practice. And so I came to the like first it was the for the business owners, and I think it's really nice. Like one thing is to talk yeah in English about business things, and the same thing to meet people. And it's really interesting what there are so many people out there having own small businesses, but they're so interesting. And yeah, I think it's a good opportunity to connect yeah and to learn something new. And yeah.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted people to have the chance, particularly people that don't have the chance to speak English a lot at work, or maybe you do have to speak English at work, but all the time it's important. It's with customers or it's with colleagues, and I wanted to give people the chance to take some time away from the people that they normally have to speak with to feel a bit more confident, to learn to feel a bit more confident speaking, because if your boss is watching you, then the chances are you're not going to be super relaxed
Right,
and
yeah.
calm. So yeah, that's my plan, and I think it's really interesting to see how this group is going to grow. And so if anyone here listening to this wants to come to any of our meetings, all the information is on the website. So yeah, come and join us. It'll be good to welcome some more people.
Yeah, and it's totally relaxed. So it's nothing like kind of, I don't know, like really serious. And no, it's really fun and nice people. So it's be like having a coffee with interesting people. Yeah,
Great.
so don't be
You're getting
afraid, people
homework.
out there.
Yeah, come and join us. Okay, so we were talking about your interest in languages. I know you said that you've always been interested in languages. I'm just wondering, what are some of the advantages for you now as a business owner, as somebody that's using multiple languages, and how has speaking more than one language helped you?
Yeah, there are several things I like about having the ability to speak some languages. I think like learning is something fundamental human, I guess. So it's everybody should keep on learning because our brain is made that way. And I think oh, it's good for the brain. And I recently saw this documentary with a young like a long, young man in the 20s. When he was a child, he had a, I forgot the name of the disease, but it damaged his brain. So in German, he cannot read or write, like just a tiny bit. But then he started learning Japanese, and because this language is so different, his brain kind of developed new areas. So now he can read and write and speak in Japanese. And reading and writing, he cannot in German. So he can do that in German. So that is a good example for me that, yeah, kind of especially learning co really completely different languages is good for you and keeps your brain active. That's one thing. The other thing is, I personally think that when you know different languages, you have a wider, broader perspective on life because you can participate in different worlds, perhaps. Yeah. So it's you learn new people, you're able to meet new people. Just yeah, it broadens or widens your perspective, I think, or your the view on the world. That is another reason why I decided to study cultural anthropology, yeah, to know more about the worlds out there. And on the other hand, it also makes the world a bit smaller because somebody speaking Spanish is not kind of total stranger because you can communicate with him or her. So it's they have this two sides of the coin, but I think they really come together. And it's another point, like third one is it's fun to me at least. I really love learning languages. I especially when we perhaps right we will speak about my experiences with Thai. It's really fun. It's like a puzzle sometimes, or it's like so you have to, yeah, start thinking in a different way, especially when you have a language as Thai that is really different to sometimes the way of thinking we do. And for my work, actually, especially the teaching or like the job coaching part, I'm a learner myself. So I think I know how people feel when they learn a language. And I think this kind of, it's a kind of empathy. Yeah, you share with your students. And students, they know that. It's, yeah, you when you have the same experience as they did, it's really the connection is, I think, it's actually better. And sometimes when there are misunderstandings, perhaps you it's easier to help, perhaps, because you know, okay, I know this language, and perhaps I can kind of understand how this mistake in the German happened because I know that the other language. So it helps me to be a better teacher, I guess, as well, and I know the several languages.
Yeah, I've experienced that as well with German speakers or Romanian speakers. I can understand how thinking in their first language meant that a sentence came out in English that wasn't quite the sentence we were looking for, but I can see, and then you can explain how what the differences are if you understand them yourself. And I think somebody like you've started something like Thai, so that's you're starting right at the beginning. So you know how it feels to be it's not something that you learned at school, so you know how it feels to be right at the beginning of that journey when you're just learning. So how was it for you? How did you learn, and how was the whole experience of learning Thai?
It's kind of like it's a small story. But when I finished my school, I planned to do a year of volunteering before starting my university studies. So there were several options, and in the end, I chose Thailand because the other options always had some language classes included, and I speak Spanish, French, and English, so that it's not really were I don't know interesting to me. And then there were Nepal and Thailand, and in this time it was like 2004, some time ago. They had this kind of political problems in Nepal, like a revolution going on. So I thought perhaps not the best country for my first visit to Asia. So I decided for Thailand, and then I don't know. It just then the rest is history. I l really started to love the country and the people, and I started to learn the language. So it was for me in the beginning when I started it, because I had a kind of crash course thing in the first week when I was there for my volunteering. And they didn't, and it was the bit, now I know better, it was a bit of a mistake that they didn't tell us about the writing. And Thai has it's not like Chinese that you have signs, you have real letters, but you have, oh, I think 44, I hope I'm not mistaken, but not all of them are used anymore. You have different K's, and some are like kind of almost obsolete, no, or like in old words they used, and the vowels are placed around the consonants, so you don't have like in English or German, we have like four vowels or five vowels, and you can combine them. No, you have, I don't know, a lot. I have 26, I think. And so and they taught us like the teacher, like the speaking part, like some basic things like hello, sawatika, sawatika, and but not the writing. And that was then when, for some people, it's enough. They stay at, in Thai they call it the karaoke language, because then you write Thai in like English, more like English letters, but you don't have a official transcription. So you have one word in Thai, and depending where you are, five versions in English for this word, and you don't have an English, don't have the right, because it's a tonal language. Yeah, you have tones, so and you don't have English, don't have the signs to indicate the tones. So when you transfer it to English, you don't know the word in Thai, you totally say the in the wrong way, because you're missing the tones, because in English you cannot see them. So this is what I was struggling in the beginning when I did this volunteering for half a year, and then I went back, started university, and I went on learning Thai, I think 2 years later in the university core class. And then I went to Thailand again, and then I really started with the writing. And I think it would have saved me some time if I had started right away with learning the Thai alphabet. And it really it's easier to yeah then you can read the words in Thai, that you know how to pronounce them. Yeah, that's it's easier. But for me, as I said, I love learning languages. It was always a lot of fun, like this to slowly to know how the Thai language is, like Thai speakers think about the world, because often when you have a certain view of the world, it reflects in like your language and the other way around. It's really, really, really interesting to me. And it was like, yeah, like a bit like mathematics sometimes. So you have to. I learned Latin in school as well, so that was a bit similar. But because in Latin, it's not a spoken language anymore. But sometimes you have this translations, and you have to think like, okay, how? What is that in German? How could I? What is it now? How can I translate that? And that was a bit similar to Thai.
And did you start using it straight away? So when you learn things, did you practice on
Yes,
the
actually, like when I in my volunteering, I stayed like 2 months in a kind of orphanage, and it was really good that I could speak Thai, because the people there was only the director and the like her assistant. They could speak English. The others just had some could speak some words of the like teacher staff there, and so it was really good that I could use my Thai. And actually, the grammar is not that complicated. They don't have tenses. They have like a particle that you use when you want to indicate future, and other tenses. So it's really, and you often you don't need to use the subject in the sentence. And when you say, and often you can leave out the to be. When you say, I am hungry, you say hungry, because the people in the context know that you mean yourself. So
Okay, so it's efficient.
yes. So it was, but what is difficult, sometimes in Thai you have word from Sanskrit, and they are written completely different than to you write and speak them in a completely different way. That's even for some Thai people is it is difficult. And you have this different they say like levels of language. You have the language for family and the streets, then you have at the workplace, and then you have the highest is like for the royalty. The king is really important in Thailand. So, and even I know some Thai people that are like, okay, I don't know, really know how to I address when I would have to talk to the king or something. I don't know how. So it's really, this is really a bit difficult, yeah. So but for daily language, and as I was the only Farang, the only white person there, so they were like, oh wow, with this some words of Thai I could speak. They were really kind of, oh, interesting. And yeah, so it was really like a door opener that I wanted to learn, and I tried to speak in Thai with them. And don't and I'm quite good with languages, so I got normally most of the time I get the tones right. That's for some people really hard, yeah, because yeah.
And it makes connections, I think. If people know that you're interested in their language, it's, I don't know, it's easier to connect with people, or particularly if they don't
Yeah.
speak your language or another common language. But I think it's something about being able to communicate in more than just your own language means that you
Right.
can make connections with other people faster. And I know you help other people to do that as well because you
Yeah.
teach German. So do you have any tips? Do you think the writing is important? For German learners, do you have any other tips for people? Because I know some podcast listeners will be learning German as well.
Yeah. So it's, I think what I was, yeah, in Thai, I think what is my, one of my, right now it's kind of, I plan to do it in future, but I have so many things going on. So that was when I was living in Germany. When I was living in Thailand, it was no problem, of course, to speak Thai, because it was every day. But when you're learning a language and you are not living in the country of the language, it can be hard to kind of keep the other language in your daily life. I know that. Yeah, myself. So that's one of my tips I would have for like German learners that in Germany or elsewhere, that they should keep German in their life as often as they can. Be it with podcasts, movies, German books. There's so many nowadays. It's so easy. There's so many apps you can use when you are an app a person. Then there is this lovely website, Deutsche Welle, DW. There
I
used to
like
be a
that
radio
website.
station, and now they I think the biggest, they have news in like 30 languages, and they have really good learning section for Germany, for German,
And
with
they have
really like,
podcasts
yeah, they
too.
have podcasts. They have daily news in slow motion and in normal speed. They have like small videos with exercises, and this is one I think a good thing because it's really interesting. I like to watch the videos myself. I'll read the
Yeah, I
text once
use
in a while because they're really
them.
interesting and they're really a good quality and they give you really good insights into German life. So this is one like really main thing I would recommend to really. It can be hard, I know, but when you really want to learn the language, you have to dive into it, even when you are not living in the country.
And
And
the internet makes
perhaps
it
we.
so easy to do that, doesn't it? Because you've got,
Exactly, yes.
you know.
And perhaps we could, you know, when we could share some links as well, like good one I can recommend. There's a good YouTube program, Easy German. It's like they used to be a startup and now they are growing and they have this program for other languages too, like Easy's English. And this is really good because they do like explain daily life things about Germany, about the German language. They do small interviews with people on the streets. And that is really good, like Easy German. I really like them. Like DW Deutsche Welle and Easy German are really good things, I think, to. Of course, not the grammar, but I think I sometimes students say, yeah, but yeah, when I talk to people and I don't know if I'm talking, if my talk, like my say the correct words, I know, of course, you need, like, especially when you're in the intermediate level, you need a teacher or someone who kind of guides you through the way, especially the grammar. But still, just speaking. As much as you can in German is helping you, yeah,
Yeah,
to
find
keep the
friends.
language in your brain alive, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
And oh yeah, another thing, I think it changed a bit. But when I was starting or I started to teach German, the pronunciation was often not so much focused on. And I think it's a shame because I know many people, they have a good German, but they still have this really strong accent. And this is one thing, try to work on the pronunciation as soon as possible. Of course, not, perhaps not, but you can even in A1 level, you can, there are some books who have it. So it's really funny to kind of try tongue twisters in German. Yeah, but you really, that would I recommend to really have an eye on the pronunciation. Because after some time in every language, when you in German, what's in English here, the mistake kind of stays with you. And in German, it is like fossilizing or something like that. It's fossiliert. And then it's really, once you have reached that stage, it's so hard to get rid of it. So yeah, some like typical German things like inversion in the sentence that you don't always have the subject in the first place. Yeah, I especially when people started learning without a teacher, then you have this like often this phenomenon that people they not you understand them, but they have this those mistakes and those like pronunciation mistakes. So that is yeah good when you have a look for that or like you be aware of that when you start with German.
Yeah, it's much harder to unlearn a bad
A
habit than it is to make the
exactly.
right
Yes,
choices, I think.
definitely,
Yeah.
definitely.
That goes for any language, I think. But yeah,
Yeah.
it's good to just start on the right way and to, yeah, to find people that can help you, especially online now, because okay, maybe you want to find people locally, even if you aren't. I'm sure there are other people here, for example, where I live. I go to some language events and we have a German one, and there are people who come there because they're learning, but they're also people, you know, German speakers. So I think, you know, it's so easy now to connect with new people, to look
Yes.
on social media to see if there are groups or to ask. So, and that's a real big motivator, at least for me it is. If I with Romanian now, like if I know people, I can, they are using the language with me because that's the language that we've chosen to communicate in, then it makes me use the language more in my day-to-day life because people are talking to me and I can't just ignore them. And I want to ignore them. They've become my friends. But yeah, it's a good way to, but you're right. Don't just make it an exercise, something you do for school, for a class. Make it something that's relevant for the rest of your day as well.
And I know it can be hard, but it's worth it actually. I know students of mine who are doing it, and you can really see the big differences when you have students are just coming to the classes and students who use it in daily life or have a German partner, or it really makes a huge impact, yeah, when you use it like try yes yeah partly on a daily basis, the German, yeah.
Great. Well, I'll add those links if you actually if you send me the
Yes.
links, I'll make sure
Yeah,
that
of
they're
course, of course.
included on
Yeah,
the.
I really I think that there's so yeah, nowadays it's really so good things out there, yeah, for learning German. Yeah.
And how about you? Where's the best place to connect with you? Where do you like to be online?
I'm online on LinkedIn, and some of you might have like who knows some German already. We have this German social media platform called Xing in German, but they are planning to close down the groups, which I think is a really bad idea, but I don't know. And so we started to move a big, we had, you know, on Xing, we had a really big group called Treffpunkt Fremdsprachen. There were more than 16,000 people in the group. And my colleague, the one from I bought the website from, he founded it in 2010, I think. So now we're trying to move to Xing, and we just opened the group. Yeah, Treffpunkt Fremdsprachen.
On LinkedIn.
Yes, exactly. It's
Okay.
still the group is on Xing, but I think you cannot join groups anymore. So, yes, and yeah, LinkedIn Xing is actually my platform, social media platforms of choice.
Okay, if you want to add the
Yep.
links to those, I
Yes,
can add
sure.
them to this page. And then if people want to find out more about what you're doing, they can come and find you there. So thank you for your tips and your insights and your story. I think that's really interesting, your story of Thai, because it's a very, very different language to learn. So thank you for sharing that with us. And
Yes,
it's
you're
been great to have
welcome.
you here on the podcast.
Yes. Oh, yeah. For plus one thing I can say regarding where you can reach me, I have a colleague, him who works with people who plan to work in Germany. He's like a kind of a job coaching thing he does, and we are planning. It's still in the planning phase, an event, and then we will share the invitation in the on LinkedIn as well. So where people who think or like think about working in Germany can meet employers who have jobs with language skills required,
Okay, sounds
and
good.
this also yeah you can soon. Well, we're still, as I said, in the planning phase, but I think it will come, and we plan like different yeah networking events, you can say, online, and that might be interesting for some of you out there.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
And then,
And then have a nice day, everybody.
you too. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.